Thank you for joining us for another episode of Mahogany and Willow. Jeanette and I are so very grateful for all of the support that you guys continue to give us. We really hope that you enjoyed this episode. After listening to this episode today, we hope to give you a fresh take on what curiosity is really about and how good it can be. We are literally born curious. Being a naturally curious child can get you into trouble, but as an adult, it's been associated with problem solving and higher intelligence. It leads to being more observant, attentive, conversational, and can literally make your mind stronger. Without curiosity, our world would be a much different place. Let's dive into it. To be curious is to be human. When we think of curiosity, we automatically think of a child in most cases. It's important for a child to be curious because it's the foundation for how and why they learn. When kids or adults ask those proverbial questions, why, how, when, where, sometimes we can really get irritated at them. We have to remember it's perfectly natural and we must nurture that curiosity to help them learn. The experts say that curiosity has been linked to psychological, social, and emotional health benefits. For children, being curious tends to lead to more enjoyment and participation in school, higher academic achievement, greater learning, engagement, and performance in their work. Innovation is driven by curiosity. Without curiosity, we would never have evolved as a species to where we are now. Inventions would never have been invented, and we'd be catapulted right back to the primitive Stone Age. Try to visualize a world without the millions of inventions that have been developed throughout our history that have made all of our lives and our ancestors' lives so much easier. Those inventions were born out of someone's curiosity. When we learn new things, it releases dopamine in our bodies, which leads to better moods. Being curious leads to happier people and has been associated with higher levels of positive emotions, lower levels of anxiety, more satisfaction with life, and a greater psychological well-being. Curiosity not only expands what we know and learn, but it can expand our empathy and ability to care about what others feel as well. Curiosity helps strengthen relationships and trust. Communication is key in any relationship, and if we don't ask questions, then we're not being curious enough, or in my mind, we don't care enough to get to know that person. Can you imagine trying to get to know someone without being curious about them, their wants, their needs, their desires, their history, and on and on? It's literally impossible to build relationships without being curious about the person you care about. Okay, Jeanette. What do you feel is one of the most enduring qualities about a curious person? Like, how do you think curiosity benefits us as individuals within our own personal relationships?
The power of curiosity comes from its ability to help us learn and grow. Curiosity, though, is such a basic component of our human nature. We're almost oblivious to how pervasive it is in our lives. Consider how much time we spend seeking and consuming information. Consumption of information is rewarding, but eventually, when enough information is consumed, there's that satiation level that occurs, and information then serves to start to reduce further curiosity. We can see how this relates when we consider our need to Google or search for completely irrelevant information, or after we end up, quote unquote, going down the rabbit hole online. After a short time, our search becomes extremely boring, very unstimulating, uninspiring. We lose interest in the information we find very quickly, and generally then we just squirrel onto some other topic of mild interest.
I agree with all of that because there's a multitude of answers and instant gratification technology has brought us and has overloaded us. So we've evolved into wanting all of our answers to our questions right now. And it doesn't require us to go and seek out that information via the books, the manuals, start disassembling something to figure out how it works so we can put it back together like how we grew up. It's maddening, actually. And all we have to do now is go to YouTube, and invariably somebody has already made a video about what exactly it is that we want to find out. There's truly no ingenuity in all of that. And technology has pretty much killed us from learning new things on our own. And now we have artificial intelligence. AI has given us a whole other reason to be a bit lazy and not find answers ourselves, and which is really scary, by the way. AI can literally write whole books for us now, and there's no need to literally make discoveries on our own anymore. What information did you dig up that explained curiosities in ways that we may not ever have thought of, Jeanette? Because I know that you did that. You went down that rabbit hole.
I did. When we first started to talk about this topic, we thought it was going to be a very basic topic. And then something happened, of course. Curiosity is actually what's called a complex emotion. It can be positive or negative. Positively, it can cause feelings of anticipation or even excitement for what we don't yet know. Negatively, it can cause feelings of frustration or even anxiety over what we might soon discover. And I found that quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. It may be helpful to know there are different types of curiosity. There's a term called perceptual curiosity. And perceptual curiosity is a driving force that motivates organisms to seek out novel stimuli, which diminishes with continued exposure. It's kind of like what we talked about before. Then there's epistemic curiosity, which is a drive aimed not only at obtaining information to satisfy the moment, but also at acquiring knowledge. And those two things are very different creatures. Then there's one more distinction. There's specific curiosity, which is a desire for particular pieces of information. And then there's diversive curiosity, which is a desire for perceptual or cognitive stimulation. Again, very different things. Curiosity enhances learning when it's specific and epistemic, but curiosity then diminishes knowledge when it is diversive and perceptual.
Wow. That's crazy. There, like, who knew? Like you said, who knew? Curiosity to me seems so easy until you start to dive into it a little bit deeper. And I've never even heard of these terms that you found, which is fascinating, but it does explain a lot at the same time. So after all of that deep dive, it doesn't sound so fun and simple anymore. So do you see curiosity as a positive or negative personality trait?
Curiosity in and of itself is not a positive trait. It's completely dependent on how we make use of it in our lives. That's how I would look at it. Using it to seek random information or to strike up conversations with strangers is not the same quality of use as using it to dive deeply into information which interests us and enhances our own life and then come to understand the people that we're closest to. Then there's that really fine line of asking if we're curious or lazy. True curiosity motivates us to look deeper into ourselves, others, and very specific subjects which are meaningful to us as individuals. Laziness, though, motivates us to squirrel at any bit of information crossing our awareness, such as in our social media feeds, from people who randomly cross our paths or through our pursuit of subjects others are interested in, but we are not. You may have heard the saying, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. This curiosity topic kind of lends into why that is a term at all. Curiosity is another one of those characteristics we often take for granted as humans, but it's also one of those characteristics we would utilize more effectively if we cultivated it as a skill. This would require us to first rein it in, meaning we need to utilize it only when we are specifically adding knowledge to our own meaningful interests. We've come to believe the more we hear and read, the more we know, and this is completely false. The more we hear and read, especially random and varied input of information, the less we actually retain, and definitely the less we really understand. Knowledge and applied knowledge are completely different things. Second, we must direct it at coming to understand the people we are in relationships with in our real lives, not random strangers, not media personalities, or random people we come across online. We've come to believe getting random information from strangers can somehow replace or benefit our actual relationships, and this is actually proven to be completely false over and over again. All of this access to random people and information and our personal relationships will suffer greatly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yet another reason why technology has hurt our younger generations in so many ways, but has also stifled the older generation due to the fear of technology. Technology has ignited a laziness aspect to how our youth learn and build relationships. So when you spoke of lazy, it's the first thing I thought of. Like the relationships that the younger generation build nowadays are based upon a facade in a lot of cases. It's like, for instance, we've all heard how people who play video games at home now make their, and I say quote unquote, make friends with other gamers from across the globe. They know each other's handles as far as their gamer name, whatever you call it, but not even their real names. And they consider them friends. They feel like they know them only because they shoot zombies, soldiers, or aliens 3 or 4 times a week with their buddy. It's a life that you and I have never experienced. You can never really know someone if you don't engage in a real one-on-one conversation and how to ask questions, be curious about them in real life. I can see how our youth have, can, and will continue to suffer with how technology has forever changed our world. What do you think could be the remedy or solution for us to reignite our innate curiosity so we don't lose it to all this modern day, easy to find answers via technology?
If we practice curiosity as a skill and we actually use it as the thought of it as something that we could develop, and if we aimed it in the direction it would actually benefit us in our own lives, it would truly become what they call a super skill that would deepen our understanding of ourselves, our personal relationships, and our true life interests. And that one I really have to stress, because we get so lost down the rabbit hole, we kind of forget what we actually are even interested in. If we really want to be innovators, developing this as a super skill would actually get us there. Tiffany, what were some of the surprises you found or realized in looking into curiosity?
Oh, yeah, it was very interesting for sure. I found that weren't a surprise as much as an aha moment for me, more than anything, were the facts that all point to how curious people are happier people. All the research I read stated that curious people showed higher levels of positive emotions and lower levels of anxiety. Studies show that curiosity boosts higher work ethic, higher achievement at work and at school, greater learning, and an overall willingness to get involved and put extra effort into what we're doing. What scares me, though, is how we're raising generations now that lack the curiosity that us kids born before cell phones and the internet had in multitudes. What I thought was really interesting was how curiosity greatly improves our healthcare industry standards, which is something we really don't think about. So, like, for example, take a doctor who has a patient that is literally a mystery and nobody knows what's wrong with this patient. And they went everywhere they could possibly go with no answers. So they find a truly curious doctor that will go to any length to get answers for not only that patient, but for them as well. So this doctor is curious, not only because they want to help this person, but they are dying to know the answers. So they dive into the problem and they'll do every test, and their curious nature will not allow them to tell that patient they can't help them. And God knows we need more doctors like that in our world. So Jeanette, here's one for you. How do you see our technology obsession as a hindrance to producing less curious kids and adults? Or do you see it as a possible aid in expanding curiosity due to answers being right at our fingertips?
Technology provides the perfect landscape for the lazy aspects of curiosity to kind of overtake our lives. And that's the part that, you know, is probably the most alarming for me. The habitual nature of our interactions with our devices gives us a perfect excuse for where we waste our time. And it's also a mask for the life that we really could be living. We don't recognize what the amount of information we have available to us at all times within reach is actually doing to the allocations of our priorities. We convince ourselves we need to research things, know what others are doing, quote unquote, educate ourselves on larger varieties of subjects and so much more. All the while, more and more of us are struggling with fatigue, anxiety, depression, health crises, feelings of powerlessness and despair about the conditions of our world. And we can't wonder why, you know, there's a reason for that. For kids, I believe curiosity that is led by tactile and sensory experiences, especially during that hypnotic stage of childhood, which is up to age 7, is what actually develops their intelligence, problem-solving skills, their coping abilities, and so many more developmental skills that they need to have. being exposed to technology and as a consequence, too many options at all times, for me, it would cause things like a chronic reduction of curiosity, a disregard towards social and relationship development, and even apathy, complete apathy instead of interest. You know, stasis instead of growth. Mm. As I said before, if we aren't focusing our curiosity and therefore making it a valuable asset in our lives, curiosity partnered with our technology can be seen as a detriment to the collective because there really is such a thing as too much information.
Yeah, that's a fact. And, you know, I've noticed that even within my own self, because I'm a person that's constantly trying to find answers to things. And I'm a naturally curious person anyway. But I've noticed that that jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. I can tell you a whole lot of stuff about a lot of things, but I don't know a lot about very few things, unless it's hunting. But the curiosity part, I am constantly searching for answers, and I can see how that can drive a person to be more lazy because the answers are at your fingertips and I can get the answer immediately, but it's not a deep, wide kind of informational search that I should be doing. So I'm guilty of that as well. And while I was doing research for this subject, I found that younger generations are feeling more pressure to conform than previous generations. Like millennials are the most stressed out generation, yet they lack risk tolerance and less distress tolerance, which I thought was really interesting, but we see it every day and you hear about it every day. They worry more about what others think of them and are less willing to take risks since they truly believe they'll be judged by their peers. Hence social media, everything's online, how you look, your life that you lead, your perfect relationship, everybody is under scrutiny nonstop and our kids are the ones suffering because of it. The experts say because of all of that, they're less likely to propose new ideas or speak up in school or work meetings. So with all that you said earlier about the different types of curiosity and how we're literally being overwhelmed into laziness, it's actually mind-blowing. It blows me away that we're getting less and less curious as a species and relying on AI to do our work for us. So if you think about our great innovators and inventors that brought us to, you know, out of the dark ages through the Gilded Age, Industrial Revolution and beyond, none of those inventions would have been invented if not for curiosity. And that I found really interesting because it's true. It's these curious human beings across the you know, mankind that have brought us to where we are today. So humans have a strong need to discover, understand, create, and explore. But with technology making things so easy to find, we are seemingly going backwards. Our country was built upon the curiosity of men who wanted to sail to the new world, and here we are. Without that curiosity, our sheer survival would be at stake. We really appreciate you guys joining us again today, and we wanted to give a shout out to Riverside. Riverside is who we're using today to do our podcast, and this is our first official remote podcast. So what do you think, Jeanette?
It's good. It's very different.
It is different, and I can't wait to hear the feedback as far as what it sounds like to others and then, of course, what it sounds like to us. And this is, of course, happening because I live in Nevada and there are times I won't make it down in time to actually record a podcast. So we're very grateful to Riverside. And we're also grateful to Donovan again for the guy that knows all of the techie that we can do this because without him, we'd be screwed. So thanks, Donovan. So we really hope that we've given you guys a lot to think about when it comes to curiosity and how healthy it is and how it benefits not only our daily lives, but all of our relationships too. So stay curious, my friend. And thank you again for joining us for another episode of Mahogany and Willow.
Because there's always something important to talk about.